The Redwood Empire Pedalcast is brought to you by Bike Monkey. Bike Monkey is one of the nation's leading event producers. They have brought world-class experiences to more than 100,000 people in their 12-year history and have raised more than $2.5 million for local nonprofits. They have been the City of Santa Rosa's largest local sponsor of the Amgen Tour of California and have caused more than $18 million to be contributed to Sonoma County through visitor spending. There's a reason why people keep coming back. They're the best.
And by Trailhouse. Built in the shadow of Sonoma County's famed Annandale State Park, Trailhouse is a place to hang your bike, have a coffee or beer, hang with friends, and decompress post-ride.
Hello, and welcome to the Redwood Empire Pedalcast. I'm your host, Patrick Brady, publisher of Red Kite Prayer and the Paceline Podcast. And with me is Jake Bayless, my co-host, who is with the Redwood Empire Mountain Bike Alliance. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I am looking forward to getting out on my bicycle this weekend. My kids are coming into town. We're going to house it in Santa Rosa and go hit Annandale for a couple of days.
Nice.
So I'm stoked.
That sounds great. Yeah, I've been missing Annandale a bit myself with all my travels of late.
Yes, that's right. So you're just back from Tornado Alley.
Yeah. The great state of Kansas, where I was in Emporia for 3 days, checking out Dirty Kansas. Yeah.
And so that's the great metropolis, or the greater metropolis of where? I'm sorry, what did you say again?
Emporia.
So Emporia, they have an international airport naturally.
Well, no, but so Emporia is halfway between Wichita and Kansas City. So I flew into Kansas City, got a rental car, drove down there, and then stayed with actually a whole bunch of NorCal people, a bunch of Sonoma County people. So Yuri Oswald of Goo, he rented a house in town, and then, a couple of different people, Storm and Tim that I'd seen at Grasshoppers were there, and then Xander Alt and Heidi Rentz from the Cyclist Menu hung out with us, and they prepared a bunch of food, and, you know, kind of Heidi did a little bit of coaching of people just to kind of help get them ready brain-wise, you know, help get them in the mindset of what we were to do. And Heidi actually did the 200 herself. And then there was another fellow from Durango, an RKP reader, Daniel Jaber. And he and I both did the 100. We were maybe a little more modest in our goals than the other folks.
Was this the first time that you've done the Dirty Kansas?
Yeah. This was my first time in the state of Kansas at all.
So first impressions.
Well, you know, I mean, I've done a whole lot of events all over the country, and I can't recall ever seeing a town turn out for an event the way Emporia turned out for Dirty Kansas.
Wow.
I can't begin to express just how deeply impressed I am by that event. Certainly, I encourage everyone listening to check out the 3 posts I've already put up on Dirty Kansas. And then we talk about it.
At redkiteprayer.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And we talk about it pretty extensively in our other podcast, The Paceline. So, yeah, I was just really blown away with it. I mean, when I crossed the line, in a sprint finish, mind you. But when I crossed the line and came to a stop because there was a big 10x20 tent in the way, I was greeted by Jim Cummins, the organizer. You know, this is the guy who runs the event. He's there. He looks at me and says, "Patrick, we finally meet in person." Holds his hand out, shakes my hand. You know,
That's fantastic.
I mean, I can't tell you of another occasion in my life where the guy greeting me at the finish line, ready to give me my half pint glass for finishing the 100-mile half pint, you know, was the organizer of the event. That just doesn't happen. Well, and it's just indicative of so much else about that event in terms of how the town turns out and, you know, the general atmosphere there.
That sounds very cool. Is there an event that is maybe in Northern California that's even remotely analogous to it, similar to it, like what people might expect?
At a certain level, no. I mean, in terms of overall organization and fantastic vibe, Levi's Grand Fondo, you know, is my leading pick. But this thing is so terribly different from that. At a certain level, it's kind of hard to compare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of it is just the fact that you do, I think the Half Pint isn't technically 100 miles. I think it was 98 miles. 96 of that is on gravel. So when you do a grasshopper, you don't spend nearly as much time on dirt as you do with this. I mean, once you leave the pavement, you don't return to asphalt until you leave the gravel at the very end of the ride.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I look forward to checking it all out over at RKP and on the Paceline.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's and I've got even more to share about it. I ain't finished yet.
Good.
Yeah. Cool.
Good. Well, last week, actually a week and a half ago, I was lucky enough to go on a little traveling excursion for bicycle related things myself. I went to the first ever mountain bike lobby day in Sacramento with a group of other sort of knobby tire enthusiasts, and it was super rad. Our California chapter director, Laurel Harkness, sort of rallied the troops and got everybody on the same page. There were folks from, let's see here, I have a list, folks from IMBA, folks, the executive director from the San Diego Mountain Bike Association, a business owner for the Bicycle Brew Stop in Novato, rep from the San Francisco Urban Riders, reps from Marin County Bicycle Coalition, Tom Boss, the dirt director there, Austin McInerney from NICA, Matt Wetter and Jeff Barker from Fat Track, Connor Colthane from CCCMB was there, and a couple of other folks. It was rad. We spent the entire day walking around those hallowed halls of Sacramento, introducing ourselves to legislators, to senators, and to assembly members, and talking about bikes, bike needs, the impending crush of demand for bike trails, and how we need, as sort of a solid entity, we need their help in finding more trails and more places for us to ride our bicycles, and helping us streamline, you know, mechanisms to get those trails actually constructed and out in the field. And it was met really warmly. I think that without exception, every single person that I met with, anyway, we broke up into a few different groups a couple of times, but the folks that I met with were super happy to have us there. In fact, I think that we learned that it was the first time that it had ever happened that a contingent of mountain bike enthusiasts had lobbied Sacramento for our interests. And so that was pretty earth-shattering for me to know that that had never happened. It was super cool.
Wow.
It was super cool.
Now, so you mentioned Laurel Harkness. Is she still an IMBA employee at this point?
She is. And I got to say, as best I can tell, Laurel Harkness is the biggest go-getter that IMBA has. So if IMBA were to cut Laurel off, you know, they'll have a lot of people to answer to. But right. Yeah. To the best of my knowledge, Laurel is in it to win it with IMBA, and more power to her, and more power to IMBA too. I know that, you know, things are tough right now for them, and I think they're trying their best to get all their ducks in a row. And so there are a lot of people who are rooting for them and holding their breath, and a lot of people who are just getting on with the business of mountain bikes anyway. But yeah, Laurel's still that. And I think it's important to recognize too, though, that Laurel rallied these troops from so many different organizations, many of whom are not IMBA chapters. I think Laurel recognizes that if we're going to get awesome stuff done in the state of California, we have to present with a unified front. And that needs to mean that we're not just IMBA chapters. Mm-hmm. We're lots of other organizations that aren't necessarily IMBA chapters. In fact, we're people who are representatives of the Sustainable Trails Coalition as well, who recently have sort of butted heads at the very highest levels of, you know, philosophical mountain biking disagreements with IMBA. We're there too. And so that's rad that everybody is there sitting around the table, invited to the table to get things done. One of the last meetings that we had at Sacramento was with one of the program coordinators for state parks, where we sat down. There were probably 25 of us at that point around the table in the state parks office talking about what kind of mechanisms exist and some of the changes that are happening in state parks right now to enable the local directors, the local district directors, to make decisions about trail maintenance and trail planning that doesn't necessarily have to rise to the master planning level or the CEQA, you know, the things that would trigger things like CEQA and that kind of governance.
Wow.
So that's good news. That's the kind of stuff that for us who want to see more sustainable methodologies employed for, you know, keeping trails going and in good condition, that is a tool for us to be able to use. And so that was positive. It was great. We had a wonderful time. I think we made a lot of headway. We met a lot of people. We were able to go to all of these legislators, not in a moment of crisis, and introduce ourselves and smile and explain what we're all about. And I think that really is a huge step forward so that when a crisis does happen, which inevitably it might, you know, I think that the inventory of trails that exist right now,
right,
are overwhelmed by the demand that the community has for them. And I think that expressing that to the people who are sitting at the table to make decisions about land use before that becomes a crisis is imperative. And I think they got that message loud and clear. That was something that came up at virtually every one of the sit downs that we went to throughout the day.
And that's one of the things that when I heard about this and heard that Austin was going to be there, really excited me, because, you know, here's a guy who's saying, you know, we are producing a whole new generation of park users. These are people who are going to be fired up to be out on trails in the various parklands around the state. And, you know, beyond that, you know, they're training them to be good stewards of the land. They're training them to be advocates, and they're training them, you know, to a certain degree in trail maintenance as well. So they've got this incredible new generation of, you know, really intelligent and caring users that they're putting into those lands. But it's like, yeah, you know, this is a whole bunch more people. How are you going to accommodate them?
Yes. And very, very diverse, right? That demographic of users that Austin represents or comes to the table, you know, as a spokesperson for, they are young and they are diverse. And I think that's one of the things that really speaks to the folks in Sacramento, is knowing that they're meeting the needs of a diverse community, not just the white folks who live in Sonoma or Marin County, which,
right,
you know, is a concern that was expressed to us on a couple different occasions.
Sure, sure. That's dynamite. I'm really thrilled to hear about this.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be something that happens on an annual basis, and I'll try my best to let people know when it's coming down, because I don't think it's something that is going to be an exclusive club. It just happens to be, this is the group of people who were invited this first go round, but everybody, I think, wants to do this annually. And I think next year, the whisperings are that it might happen to coincide with the California Trails and Greenways Conference. That is an annual thing. It's been going on for 30 years. I think I mentioned it on our last pedalcast, was something that Nick and I went to down in Monterey.
Yeah.
It's going to be hosted in Sonoma County next spring. And so what better way than to, you know, make this a touchstone than to have that trails conference where so many people come to Sonoma County, follow it up that very next week with a contingent of mountain bike advocates going to Sacramento to sort of remind them of who we are and what we do and what our needs are.
Wow. That's terrific. Yeah. Boy, very cool. Now, one final question for you. In terms of, you know, what is the reach of, you know, the interaction here? Is this something that would simply guide state parks, or would it guide state and regional parks? You know, where's the range of influence for it?
Well, it spans all of those things. Obviously, when we go to Sacramento, the people who we're trying to reach out to are the people who are making decisions and voting on bills and issues that are presented to the California State Legislature and Senate. And, you know, they have contingencies that they represent. You know, it's a representative democracy. And so each one of those people comes from a different region in the state of California. And when we go and talk to them, of course, those of us, like, for example, I went and sought out Jim Wood's staff, because Jim represents the district that overlaps over most of Sonoma and Napa and Lake County. But also Mark Levine represents Marin County and part of southern Sonoma County. And so they have, you know, feet on the ground for state issues, but they also have some influence and usually have the telephone numbers and a hotline to the local decision makers, land managers, and that sort of thing at regional parks and open space and so on. In fact, at a meeting with Jim Wood's staff, we were just sort of brainstorming on what are some of the issues that are out there that need to be solved and maybe mountain bikes can play a positive role in. And just off the cuff, I thought, well, you know, Jim Woods has been in the news lately trying to figure out solutions for the illegal growing of marijuana. Yeah. And some of the natural impacts that has had, some really negative impacts. And I suggested, well, wouldn't it be great if we could just have a few bike trails that are through some of those open space properties to deter people from going in and having big giant grows? And the guy's eyes lit up. It was fantastic. It was though he literally said nobody had ever mentioned that, and he was going to bring it to Jim. And so I don't know what will ever come of it, but I would hope that if Jim Wood is sitting down with you know, somebody from Mendocino Redwoods Company, and they're lamenting the fact that they have so many people who are trespassing and growing marijuana on their property, Jim might say, hey, you know, I have an idea. How about we employ the mountain bikers to make a trail that goes through there, and maybe that'll keep the the bad element out. And, you know, that's a kind of discussion that wouldn't happen if we wouldn't have gone to Sacramento. I'm betting that a lot of the other organizations that represented, you know, their own geography brought up things like that too.
Right, right. Well, and it's the sort of thing that if they want to consider it, they need to consider it in the near term rather than longer term. Because one of the things that happened up in Humboldt County is that the growers are so dug in, so entrenched, and shall we say rather well armed, that yeah. A lot of the old mountain bike trails aren't being ridden anymore because all the mountain bikers have been run out. So, and it's one of those things that, you know, when you're confronted by a guy with a semi-automatic weapon with a scope on it, as friends of mine have reported, you tend to think, maybe I won't ride that trail anymore.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, you know, you just talked about the Dirty Kanza, and I'm not exactly sure how to bring this up with, you know, the community at large, but I kind of sense that there's a big shift that's happening in how we, as kind of a cyclist group, are using bikes to get out. And the advent of, you know, really robust cyclocross bikes and sort of that broad adoption of the gravel grinding bike, I kind of think that that opens up a much bigger discussion, because suddenly we're asking for access to old roads, not just trails. Yeah. Certainly trails would be rad too, but there's a huge contingent of people who are traditionally roadies who are now like, well, I think I'd be willing to put on a 40C tire and go for a gravel ride if it was through a beautiful area. And that's emergent. I think that is going to be something that becomes a bigger and bigger talking point, as well as a selling point for getting us as a contingent access to places that we haven't historically had access to, because nobody considered that it was even something we wanted. And I think now is the time for us to speak up and say, hell yes, we want that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it's, you know, it's a crucial part of the whole debate regarding wilderness lands, you know?
So it is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's why I keep pitching to RKP readers that, you know, even if you see yourself as a roadie and, you know, maybe only occasional cyclocrosser or, you know, adventure rider, you really need to think about how the wilderness designation is affecting your possible riding, because you know a lot of those places have dirt roads, they have old logging roads and whatnot, and you won't have access to those either. This isn't just a mountain biker issue.
No, it's not. It's much bigger than that. And I think that the opportunities are huge right now if we can kind of see through the haze and identify those things.
Yeah. Very cool.
So in a little bit of other sort of advocacy news for bikes in the Sonoma County area, recently we opened up, we had the grand opening for the Santa Rosa Pump Track.
Yep.
And at that grand opening, we had a very interesting discussion with some city parks staff who said, hey, you know, we're going to be opening up the master planning process for this new park, Kiwanis Springs Park, which is over there at the base of Taylor Mountain Regional Park. We are asking the community for feedback on what kind of amenities we should be putting into this cute little neighborhood park. And naturally, I kind of think that a pump track would be rad there. And if not a pump track, or maybe in addition to a pump track, some skills progression, because here's the thing. There are a ton of houses around that area. It's in sort of south, primarily southwest, but behind Costco, sort of to the east of Costco, yep. Petaluma Hill Road area. A lot of houses, a lot of kids, and a lot of bikes. And there's this giant regional park with a growing network of trails in it, but also with some really steep hills and some technical stuff. How rad would it be if that postage stamp community neighborhood park had some skills progression stuff where the whole family could go, ride a little pump track, ride some skills progression, develop the skills, and then suddenly you've got a family that has the capability, has the skills necessary to hop on the trails and cruise up to Taylor Mountain. And so the cool thing about this is that city park staff recognize that too, and they want us to give them some feedback so that they can work that into their master plan. So if anybody listening, if you listener, dear listener, think that that's a good idea, please head on over to mountainbikealliance.org and click on the news post for Kiwanis Springs Park feedback. You've got maybe a couple of days left to do that. You got to do it, act fast, and give them some feedback about what you think would be rad at that park. And, you know, hopefully it might involve a pump track or skills progression.
Excellent. And we'll have a link from our show notes to take you right there.
Perfect.
Yeah. Excellent. And I think there's another little tidbit you had for us regarding some Ranger news.
Yes. So a lot of people, a lot of listeners, Patrick, who have been around for a long time. Now, I recognize you're relatively new to the area, but I bet you when I say Bob the Ranger, you know exactly who I'm talking about.
I got word. I'm lucky that way.
Right? I got word a week ago that Bob's official retirement date is June 30th. Bob is retiring. And that means there are going to be, it turns out, State Parks is upping the ante. They are going to hire two rangers to replace Bob. And the rumors, unconfirmed, but I think they're pretty strong, is that they're going to be replacing Bob with two rangers whom are female, one of whom I know is a great mountain biker and a bike advocate and active and interested in collaborating with the bike community to make Annadel awesomer, which is a huge shift and is really exciting to me.
Wow. Yeah, that's really refreshing. I truly am one of the fortunate people who never crossed paths with Bob the Ranger. But, you know, I'd welcome the opportunity to begin building a constructive relationship with Annadel Rangers, as opposed to think, okay, well, when I come out of this trail, I just need to make sure that I'm not seen. Not saying where I've written, but, you know.
I'm just going to read between those lines. Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are going to be more than a few people who are listening right now thinking about that special ticket that they might have gotten from Bob the Ranger. So suffice to say that unsanctioned trails are still unsanctioned trails until we come up with some plan to figure all of that out. But the conditions that we might have a collaborative environment to work those things out and help Annadel become all of Annadel that we want it to be are improving as we speak.
Yeah, that's pretty dynamite. Now, are we going to have a retirement party for Bob and just not invite him?
No.
Sorry, bad Patrick. Right, that was completely without class. All right, I apologize. Okay.
Honestly, I think that a retirement party might be an awesome thing to do. Who knows? Maybe we should present him with a mountain bike.
At Trail House?
At Trail House. That sounds like a fantastic idea.
This would be a good time to break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with a pretty cool little interview. Bike Monkey is excited to announce that its popular Annadel cross-country mountain bike race will be taken in a new direction this year. Instead of a one-day cross-country, this year it will be a multi-day event, and one of the days will take in the well-known Annadel course. Stay tuned for more details about this, which will be coming in a few short weeks. And coming up on September 24th is Stettina's Sierra Prospect, an event sponsored by Trek Segafredo Pro Pete Stettina and held at the edge of the Blue Lake Tahoe. It features two routes, the Express, which is 40 miles and 3,600 feet of climbing, and the Intrepid, which is 98 miles and includes 9,700 feet of uphill. The event uses Bike Monkey's road rally format and includes five timed sections, one of which will be 11 miles of the daunting 16-mile climb up Mount Rose. There will be a variety of events over the course of the weekend, including a coffee ride, a VIP dinner, and of course, the awards ceremony. For more information, visit bikemonkey.net. And by the Trail House, cycling is an amazing outlet. It can be used to clear your head and bring you back to earth after a long day or week. Races can elevate you to the highest highs or the lowest lows. Rides bring people together that normally wouldn't ever interact. Rides also allow you to connect with places you live or visit on a level that brings a higher appreciation of these places. This is our community. People from all walks of life coming together because of the bicycle and cycling. Trail House is our hangout, a place with excellent coffee, amazing craft beer, and simple eats. Trail House exists to bring cyclists, bikes, coffee, food, and beer under one roof. Find Trail House in the shadow of Annadel State Park at 4036 Montgomery Ave in Santa Rosa. They are open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., except on Friday and Saturday when they're open till 11 p.m. You can find them on the web at trailhousesantarosa.com, as well as Instagram and Facebook at Trail House Santa Rosa. And we're back at the Redwood Empire Pedalcast. I'm your host, Patrick Brady, with my co-host, Jake Bayless. Jake, so after the Nika season wound down, you got a chance to talk with the California State High School Mountain Bike League champ, Xander Sugarman. I'm interested to hear this, but I got to ask you, I mean, how fast is this kid?
He is fast. So I heard before I interviewed him that he had gone down to Sea Otter and ridden the cross-country course with the pros. And in a field of, I don't know how many, maybe 60 or 70 pros, he was smack dab in the middle. So you go ahead and take that for what you know it's worth. He is fast. He is strong. And he has endurance. I think in our interview, he touches on the fact that he is not a sprinter, but he has got legs that will just keep going. So I was lucky enough to meet Xander probably 3 or 4 years ago when he was a youngster getting started working at the Trek shop. We went out on a ride. Mind you, he was, a freshman in high school. Mm-hmm. And I remember Brett at the bottom of Marsh Trail saying, "Xander, go ahead. When you get to Buick Meadow, turn around, come back, and meet up with us. And I swear to you, we were maybe halfway up the hill by the time he got back to us. Now, I don't know that he made it all the way to Buick Meadow, but he was ripping fast 4 years ago. And so I had a feeling then that there might be something special. So I got in touch with Xander after I heard that he had taken the state championship, and I cornered him and made him play 20 questions with me. So I've got that here.
Cool.
All right, everybody. I am lucky enough to be sitting in the room with the winner of the California State High School Championship race, Mr. Xander Sugarman of Santa Rosa. We've commandeered the back office of the Trek store in Santa Rosa so that I can play 20 questions with him. How are you, Xander?
I'm doing pretty good. Just about to go out on my ride.
I might have heard that you also raced in the dirt crits last night.
Yeah. Finished off my ride up in Annandale with the first dirt crit of the series.
How'd that go for you?
Went all right. Kind of just went in looking to have fun. One of those Lamperti bros beat me after I got stuck behind someone on one of the descents, but I'm not too bummed out about that.
So for the folks that don't know, the Lamperti family is a regular in the local racing circuits, especially the young guys. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
So you get to go head-to-head with Luke from time to time?
Yep. He's a fast kid.
And he's a sophomore, maybe, and you're a senior?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So up and coming, keep your eyes on Mr. Lamperti, huh? So I'm sitting here, though, with you because I want you to have a chance to tell us the story about what it was like to race and get yourself to the race. I mean, it's been a long time coming, this victory that you had last weekend, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
What was it like, you know, starting out in high school and kind of having your eyes on the prize and then finally getting there? That must just be amazing. And, tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely definitely wanted this California State champion jersey for a while. I mean, I started in the NorCal League as a freshman and only did one race. Didn't take cycling too seriously at that point. Sophomore year is when I really started to take it seriously and actually won the NorCal overall in the sophomore category. And after that, going to my junior year was when I was promoted to the varsity category.
So you became varsity in your sophomore year in high school?
My junior year of high school.
Okay.
So that was hard. I ended up getting third overall there, and sixth at state championships when it was in Southern California. But this year, I mean, it was my senior year in high school. Really couldn't have gone better. Won every single race in the NorCal League, and then state championships was right in my backyard.
So back up. How many races is every single race this year?
So it's a 5-race series, and then finished off with state championships.
Okay, and state championships, for people who don't know, was in your backyard in Petaluma, right?
Yeah, so Petaluma is just 40 minutes south of where I live. So, I mean, it was way better than the 8-hour drive to Southern California. super lucky to have it right there. I got to sleep in my own bed the night before.
Okay, so you get to sleep in your own bed. You kind of know the territory. You're rested. You're ready to go. Had you also scoped out the course? Had you pre-ridden it? Did you know the places where you might attack or rest? Or, you know, what did you prep for?
So they've had – it was at the same course as it's a relatively new course, but I raced the same course sophomore year and my junior year. So I went in knowing exactly what the course was like. It's basically a large climb, probably about 3 miles, with about another 3-mile descent. So in that sense, it's like it was a really good course for me. I mean, I'm good at these long sustained climbs, and it really couldn't have been better. So I mean, I was just planning on really just staying with the pack for the first couple laps. There are 4 laps, and I was hoping to I mean, if I was in position to do it, have my attack on the third lap and hopefully break away and have the fourth lap kind of by myself.
And that's how it played out?
Yeah, that's exactly how it played out.
So you beat the second place rider by about a minute, is that right?
Yeah. He actually wasn't second overall in the NorCal League, but he got second at States, and I think I had him by just about a minute.
All right. So now what? You're a senior at what high school?
Santa Rosa High School.
And after Santa Rosa High School, you're going to go where and do what now?
So I'm going to be going to CU Boulder. I'm going to be doing mechanical engineering. I'm definitely going to plan to continue cycling. I'll probably race on their college team, and I'll also race on the team I'm on now, Bear Dev.
What about the pro question? Where do you stand about the pro question?
So I've actually been, so this year outside of the NorCal High School League, I'm now a U23 racer, which means for all the races that I do, all the big ones outside of the NorCal League, I'm racing against pros, like the fastest guys in the world. It's been certainly humbling. I mean, a lot of them have been really just destroying me. But Sea Otter went super well for me. Nino Schurter was actually in my race. He's the number one in the world right now for cross country. I ended up getting 46th in that field, which was like upper mid pack. So I was pretty happy about that. But generally in these super big pro races, I haven't been winning for sure. I mean, it's certainly a good opportunity to race against these guys.
Xander, you're 18?
Yeah.
How many other 18-year-olds were around 46th overall at Sea Otter?
I mean, I'm definitely one of the youngest. Definitely was one of the youngest in that field, if not the youngest. I'm sure there's maybe two other 18-year-olds in that field, but I know some 19 and 20-year-olds beat me, but as for the youngest in the U23 field, I think I was like first in my age at least.
Okay, that's rad. So full circle though, we've spent a little bit of time talking about what winning is like. Right? You certainly have earned it, though, and I think that we probably ought to talk a little bit about how you got here. It isn't just magic. You know, I'm looking across the table at a ripped Xander. You should see the guns on this kid. How did you do it? What's your training like? How much time do you spend in the saddle on an average week in your senior year of high school? What would you tell a sophomore who wants to be the state champion how to prep for it?
Well, I work with a coach from Monterey, Chris Burnham. Right now, I'm probably doing around 10 to 12 hours a week. I'm actually doing less hours on the bike than some other people. Some people are just doing ridiculous hours, but I've been focusing on just like keeping the intensity really high on the rides that I need to do that and just having fun on the...
Okay, time out, though. You're in high school. Where do you fit in 10 to 12 hours? Like, physically, specifically, where do you ride in your 24-hour day, midweek, and weekends?
Well, I mean, Monday through Friday, I'm in school. I'm out at 3, so I'll ride after. I'll probably get home at, like, 6. I mean, my senior year, especially second semester, it's kind of winding down, so school isn't that much, like... It's not getting in my way too much, but I mean, I have plenty of time to fit it in, and on the weekends, I have the whole day, and I still maintain a pretty good social life.
So when I first met you, you were, I'm sure some people would have called you a Grom, working at the Trek store here in Santa Rosa. You're not so much now. What about working? Have you been able to put much time into the job lately?
Yeah, I mean, during the season, I've really not worked too much.
And even moreover, like for the young guys and gals who are listening right now, what role did working in a bike shop play in sort of your progression along this, you know, this track that you're taking?
Before I started working, I met Brett, the owner of the Trek store. He gave me a super nice deal on a Fuelie X, not quite a cross-country bike, but it was good for the type of trails that I live around. It was an awesome bike. He gave me a great discount, and that's really what, like, started me taking the sport more seriously. I mean, it was a nice bike. It wasn't nearly as nice as the bikes I'm riding now, but it was definitely a good opportunity to just train on a pretty good bike. And then working at the Trek store, I mean, it's been awesome. I have so many opportunities just to be with mechanics and help me out with any of my problems. I have access to all their tools and supplies, so that certainly helps a lot. I mean, it's definitely, during the season, I didn't really work. So for the last month or so, when in the heat of it, I really have not been working. But besides that, I mean, I worked all through the winter pretty much until March. I pretty much took April and part of May off. I'm actually starting to work now, is when it's going back in the money-making swing of things.
Right. Yeah, it turns out you got to make a little bit of coin to have a habit like riding a bicycle.
Yeah, I mean, I had some money saved up. I don't have much left, though. So.
Okay, so are you going to be in Santa Rosa working this summer, or when do you head off to Boulder?
So classes start on August 28th, so I'll be working pretty much until then.
And when do you walk? When do you graduate high school?
Graduate June 2nd, so not too far from now, just a few weeks.
All right. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
High school season, it went well. I mean, my season's definitely not over yet. Still have a few more races leading up to Nationals. And Nationals is one of the few exceptions for races in the United States that I don't have to race against pros, because U23... gets their own separate field at Nationals.
When and where is Nationals?
So Nationals is mid-July, and it's going to be in West Virginia.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that will be pretty gnarly as far as the weather goes. And apparently the course is actually pretty gnarly as well.
All right, so are you going to get out there early and check it out?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll probably go down with my team about a week before is what I'm guessing. And just get some riding on the course.
Okay, so I need to delve into another question that I forgot to mention. You won the state championship for mountain bike racing, but I happen to know that you do spend a fair bit of time on a road bike. What about road biking?
It's kind of weird, but I mean, to train to be a cross-country racer, you do most of your training on the road. It's just, you don't have to deal with rocks and stuff, and Annandale especially, it's like, it's hard to put power down for a long period of time without any big interruptions. But on the road bike, it's easy to do all your intervals and stuff that you need to do. But at Boulder, I've never done any road racing. But it's definitely something that interests me, and I will probably start road racing in college.
All right. Awesome. Well, Mr. Sugarman, I appreciate you taking your time, and a sincere congratulations too again for your victory, and we'll be keeping tabs on you.
Yeah.
Thanks again for your time.
Thanks for talking to me.
All right, so that's Xander Sugarman, your California state champion of the High School Mountain Bike League.
Man, I'm amazed to see what he'll be able to achieve in cycling as he continues on, but, you know, as the league grows and new schools come in and, you know, more kids ride on these teams, you know, the depth of competition is going to get stronger and stronger. And I wonder what we're going to see in terms of the quality of competition by the time my boys are in NICA.
Right. I think about that all the time too. You know, Katie and I are in the midst right now. My wife, Katie, and I are in the midst right now of figuring out how we're going to set up some living arrangement so that we are close to where my kids are going to go to high school, so that they can ride on the mountain bike team, right? With Miguel Crawford and the El Molino mountain bike team. And I can't wait. I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to have a place that we live midweek when the kids are in high school, that they can ride their bike to high school and just sort of live that lifestyle. I'm so excited about getting them into it.
That sounds pretty dynamite. Yeah. And it's right around the corner for them, huh?
Yeah, 2 more years. So Jasper, my eldest, is 12, and he's going to be going into 7th grade next year. It turns out 7th and 8th graders, which is still middle school, can participate in the high school mountain bike club at El Molino. So,
right.
That's next year. You know, he still might be in middle school, but she's shown all the enthusiasm I need to see that says he wants to do the high school mountain bike league. So
yeah,
we're in.
Well, there are only 2 places in the country that are doing the pilot middle school program, and the NorCal League is one of them. So you're pretty fortunate.
I did not know that. Yeah. I am pretty fortunate. Well, Jasper's fortunate.
Your whole family is fortunate, dude.
Yeah, whole yeah. family's fortunate.
Man, so now that it's June, all the rain is past us. The hills are turning gold once again. It looks like the California that we know. It is on in terms of events. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So this Saturday, there's the Bell Joy Ride in Annandale. You've been following that. Why don't you tell us about it a bit?
Right. So REMBA is supporting the Bell Joy Girls Rock Ride. It's this Saturday, June 10th. It is a 9 o'clock start where everybody meets up, I believe, at Trail House.
Yep.
And rolling out to the trails at 10 o'clock and getting back and having food and drinks around noon to 2. You know, it's something that I think there are a lot of people who are excited about, and I can't wait to hear all about it.
Well, it's nice to see an organization like Bell Helmets step up to sponsor this thing and to, you know, really take an active role in encouraging more women to ride. You know, that's I like our sport when it's at its most diverse. You know, I think that's when it's healthiest. And
I couldn't agree with you more. Sure.
I really love that they're doing this. Yeah.
Yep.
So, okay, moving right along. There's an Enduro this weekend, Benduro in the Sierra foothills. That's the 9th, 10th, and 11th. And then the following weekend of the 17th is the Wildwood Adventure Enduro up in Mendocino. And I'm actually looking into the possibility of trying to get a transfer entry for that.
Do it. It's so fun. Those trails are rad.
Yeah. Well, it would be my first Enduro ever. So I'm just a little bit out of my element, but I figure it's high time I gave a try to an Enduro.
You just put on your self-preservation hat in the morning and you'll be fine.
Yeah, which is to say the chin bar for my Bell Super 2R helmet. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I've also got some pads. Yeah. Let's see. The following weekend, we've got the Nevada City Classic. So that's, you know, that's a really big deal in terms of, you know, road events here in California. It's been won by a long list of pros, including Greg freaking LeMond. So that's a big thing for folks to check out. I'm sure that all the hardcore roadies I know who are still racing are going to be heading up there for that.
And Nevada City just is not very far away, so you can make that.
Yeah. It's a pretty easy drive. Also, the Giro Bello. That's happening out of Sebastopol, and I've never gotten a chance to do it, but I hear it's just a really fine recreational event.
You know, I did the Giro Bello probably 5 years ago. Maybe it was one of the first years that it happened, and it literally was it may have been the very first century that I did with a couple of friends of mine who really helped me take up road biking. It was it was sort of a turning point for me from being Fat Jake to actually riding my bike and getting a little Fit Jake.
Very cool. Yeah. So, and that's, you know, one of the nice things is they've got a full century, a metric century, as well as some shorter routes. And it's, you know, it's not a super crazy course. You know, the century only has 6,500 feet of climbing, you know. So it's supposed to stay out in West County. So for anybody who's, you know, wanted a chance to see some of the roads of West County and get some of those marvelous views without doing a big event like Levi's Grand Fondo, the Giro Bello is going to be a pretty terrific thing. That's right. June 24th.
June 20th. Yeah. Oh, no. Packet pickup is June 23rd. And you can register for that at girobello.com.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, just around the corner, Bike Monkey is going to be releasing more details about the homage event coming up in August. So all we know so far is that it's a multi-day event instead of a one-day cross-country.
And it's working in the Annadale XC course in one of those days.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you know, from the sound of it, it will be doing some stuff outside of Annadale. And then, yeah, one day we'll use the traditional Annadale cross-country course, but in a fresh way is what I understand.
Yep.
So, yeah, dynamite stuff. Alrighty. Well, that gets us through this week. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, you can find us on iTunes, of course, at Red Kite Prayer. We're also available at SoundCloud and Google Music. If you would, do us a favor and leave us a review or a comment in our show notes. And
tell a friend.
Yeah. But most especially, we really appreciate good reviews on iTunes because that helps bump us up in their search results. So, yeah. For Jake Bayless, this is Patrick Brady. Thanks for listening.